The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we are back. National Signing Day, although a number of the top classes did not sign a player today. LSU didn't sign a player. I don't think Alabama signed one. Georgia got a commitment for next year. South Carolina with the biggest coup of the day. And we get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. And Jerry is up next. Hello, Jerry. Jerry, you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, good. Great to have you here.
Yes, enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
I'm the one who called you the other day about the pitchers, Bears' last game at the Liberty Bowl.
Yes, sir.
Well, I got them in the mail today, so maybe they'll be getting
there. Oh, my goodness. Well, I can't thank you enough.
Maybe Thursday or Friday. And also, I was watching yesterday when you had River Jackson and John Parker. Anyway, if I'm not mistaken, and I may be, that Wilbur, I believe the first time he touched a football, he run about 80 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, he may have.
If it wasn't him, it seemed like it was him. But anyway, he was a great ball player. And just tell those Georgia fans now, I'm proud for them that they're on top right now. But keep howling at the moon and barking, because what goes up sooner or later comes down. Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. Camp is up next. Hello, Camp. You're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
Okay, thank you.
Long-time caller, first-time listener. Just wanted to ask a quick question about something I read last night on it was either AL.com or it was The Athletic. Two athletes were approaching Nick Saban, one a high school incumbent, asking for $800,000, and one a transfer in the transfer portal asking for $500,000 and also a free ride for his girlfriend to be able to attend law school. Where are we coming with this? Do the student athletes not know that the university does not control the money, that the university cannot, by way of the impotence of the NCAA, control the money coming into the student athlete, that it would have to go through at least a booster, if not the booster coalition?
Yeah, Camp, we have a guest coming on about that very issue, and there's a lot of conversation about what allegedly happened there. So we will get to the bottom of that story shortly.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, apparently the player wanted his girlfriend to get in law school. Didn't know it was that easy. Just ask Nick Saban to get your girlfriend in law school. Trey is in Charlotte. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
First time on the show, big-time fan. My Gamecocks signed old Nicholas Harbor today. I'm really excited about that one. I think we're going to the SEC championship game this year, maybe taking on Georgia for the East. But what do you think are the expectations for the Gamecocks this fall?
Well, I think they're going to be high. The problem with the Gamecocks always comes down to navigating the schedule, because it always has Clemson at the end, always has Georgia early, and some of the usual suspects in between. And it's just simply, the first game is against North Carolina. I think that's a really good game for them. And then it's at Georgia in week three and at Tennessee. And that's what I don't like about the schedule, because it's entirely possible that you could have two losses really in the first 5 weeks of the year. And if that happens, you're effectively out of the running for the SEC East.
100%, I agree. It's you got to beat the big dogs to, be the big dog. So
But Trey, let me also say this. I learned about predicting South Carolina. You cannot look at the schedule in early February, because I looked at it last year, and I would have guaranteed you that Tennessee and Clemson were losses.
Yes, sir. I'd have to agree. I went to the Tennessee game this year in Columbia, and going into the game, I was not too hopeful, but, you know, we pulled it out and then got hot at the end. So hopefully we can take that momentum into
we were there that weekend too, and I don't remember anyone. It even seemed like Shane Beamer was going through the motions. And part of the reason was that South Carolina had just been shellacked the week before by Florida. And it just seemed pretty, pretty hopeless. Thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. Ryan is up next. Hey, Ryan.
How's it going, Paul?
Ryan, we're doing great.
Paul, it's Ryan Ray 199. I'm calling you back from yesterday.
Oh, wonderful.
How you doing today, Paul?
Ryan, I am doing great.
Well, look here, Paul. I owe you an apology. I rant and raved. I was a little nervous, you know, being a first-time caller. But I just want to say thank you. It's an honor to be on your show. I listen to you all the time. And I just want to hear you say Roll Tide, Paul.
Well, I will say Roll Tide now that you've apologized
to
me.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You just made my day, Paul.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling, and you owe us no apologies. We appreciate you calling, and I realize it's not easy making that first call. Second was much easier. How about Donnie in Arkansas? Donnie, hey. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. What's up?
Hey there.
I missed you when you came down here to Little Rock for the touchdown club.
Man, was that a blast? I've been there a couple of times. I've been a lot of various clubs. That was one of the most enjoyable times I've ever had.
And I missed you. I had COVID. I missed that day. I wanted to see you. But I want to ask you a couple questions on that. Arkansas was ranked number 9 recruiting. What that put them overall? Nationally,
pretty well. I mean, that's the weird part. Where you are ranked in the SEC may look deceiving, because nationally, I'm guessing they're in the top 20. I'll double check. We'll take a look at that ranking. But that's really good. I think that's good for Sam Pittman.
Do you remember me when I called you when the Razorbacks were playing baseball with Oklahoma? You remember I called?
I do.
You there?
Yes.
That was a game. But I enjoy your show, and I watch it every time I get a chance to.
Well, by the way, Donnie, we double checked. Arkansas is number 22 nationally, which is a good ranking. Arkansas is not the kind of program that always has flashy rankings. It's a development place, and right around the middle of the pack when you look at the numbers is pretty close to where everyone else is. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. The one thing I will say, though, and nowadays everyone has to consider that the rankings are not the be-all, end-all. They're important. But you have to factor in the portal, and you also have to factor in the attrition, because I saw a stat – Alabama over this, not including this year, of course, but over the last 100 players, blue chip players Alabama signed, 42 left the program. So the retention is really critical. Thank you for the call. Let's check out Mark in Mississippi. Hey, Mark, go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Another great show as always.
Thank you.
And you covered this very well, but now I just want to make a comment that Zach Arnett, I think we're in for good things in the future with him, because him being able to hold that class together was absolutely outstanding.
Mark, I think I don't think people know, and I think ultimately we'll find out more when you start getting more information. But you know as much, you know a little bit, and I know I've heard a little bit. And that class was literally on the brink, and that's what's so bizarre. And I realize the competition, but the idea that schools were swooping in there like vultures, trying to steal players, as the service was being scheduled for Coach Leach is simply unbelievable. But that's what happened. The school knew that. They had to act quickly. They did, and give Dr. Keenum credit for not wasting time with that during a very difficult period without an athletic director. They promoted Zach Arnett, and he saved the class, and he probably saved the next 2 years for Mississippi State, because that could have been really a lot of damage done to that program on top of everything that had already happened.
Yes, sir. I agree completely. And Paul, could I make one more quick point?
Sure.
All right. I'm 49 years old, and I spent the last 10 years have always been a huge fan of you guys. And I recently took a job. My hours are 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. So by the time I leave my workplace, I got you on, and I sit in my car until 6 o'clock every
evening.
Oh, my
goodness. Well, thank you.
Appreciate what you guys do.
Mark, thanks a lot. That means more than you'll ever know. And I realize everybody has different hours and can't always get the show when it's on. But that means a lot to everybody here on the program that you said that. We'll take a break. More to come, or about an hour and 45 minutes remaining. We'll dig into that NIL story with Nick Saban a little bit later on. Until then, we'll take your phone call.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And how about LSU and Missouri? Missouri has really been a hot team this year under a new coach, and the Tigers head to play the Tigers. And we are back here, and let's continue with more of your phone calls. And Keith is up next. Hey, Keith.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you a couple things. And I'm a Georgia grad, graduated in 82, and so I'm a big Dogs fan. I wonder what you think about Brock Bowers being in the news for not taking the collective NIL money and what that means to other Georgia players and the program in general. And I also want to ask you, what you think about Alabama getting such a good recruiting class without an offensive or defensive coordinator? I mean, I realize these players want to play for Saban and for Alabama, but don't these high school kids have a concern about who their coordinators are going to be?
Yeah, you know, I think as far as Bowers, I think that is an outlier. in relation to Alabama, most of these decisions are made so early. I mean, Alabama didn't sign a player today, so it didn't really matter. And I think that's why Coach Saban was so deliberate, where if you turn back 5 years, I mean, he couldn't have done that. Because the coordinator position does matter. Yeah, you do want to play for Nick Saban. You want to play for Alabama, all the things that we already know. But the coordinator position is critical, especially for the quarterback in terms of what it's going to look like. But it really didn't affect Alabama since they signed a five-star a year ago and another player, and they're in pretty good shape. But I think what's so remarkable about the Alabama signing class is, you know, this comes after a turbulent year, and I know people will look at the final rankings and the one loss record and go, really? But it was. I mean, it was a season that had a lot of chaos with Alabama being the prohibitive favorite and nearly getting back into the playoffs. So it's a great testament to Nick Saban understanding the landscape, whether he likes it or not. Regardless of what he has said in the past, he adapted. And, you know, forgetting what he said the other night to the coaches, he obviously figured out a way to make the system work for him. Let's check out Tommy. Tommy, can you hear me?
I can, Paul.
Can you see me?
No, I can't see you because I'm in a big truck.
Got it.
they don't let me look at you on XM radio.
Now, by the way, Tommy, I want you to know I'm playing games with one of my friends behind the scenes here. You don't have to pay attention to me. We're just being silly.
It's fine with me. Silly's nice sometimes. I've drive around in traffic with a whole lot of silly people all day, every
Where,
day.
You're in Gadsden right now?
No, I'm in Birmingham on the bypass.
Oh,
now
no, no. You don't want to be. You do not want to be in that traffic at, let's see, what is this, 4:22 in the afternoon. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know
pulled.
Who. Birmingham used to have the worst interstate. They used to call it Malfunction Junction. And they redid it, and you tell me, I think it got worse.
It did, because they changed all the lanes, and now nobody knows which way to go. So it's even worse. But I pulled off at the old horse track exit.
Okay.
I'm going to take about a two-hour break and let everybody run over each other.
Yeah, well, I know where you are.
Go down the road.
Every time I fly out of Birmingham, which is often, we fly right over the Birmingham race course.
Yeah, but do you know anything about who they're even talking to about offensive coordinator?
I would, Tommy. This is where somebody in my position is supposed to act like I know what's going on. I don't have a clue. I was hoping you could help me.
No, I go on all kind of lines, and I don't think anybody has a clue. That was what I originally said.
I think it's pretty obvious they like the guy from Washington. He wouldn't have flown across the country if he was not a. But to me, I think the most important thing is getting somebody that fits Nick Saban's philosophy, because some of the names I've heard really don't match with his philosophy on offense. Now, the defensive coordinator is even more intriguing, because we've heard the same names now for a couple of weeks, and we don't seem to, but I'm guessing once we get toward the end of this week, we are going to know. There's no reason for this to go on much longer.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be much longer. But I had a little something I wanted to tell you, Benji. Y'all were talking about Michael Jackson and the Jehovah's.
Right.
I live in Prattville.
Yes, sir.
Well, back in the summer, it was 105, you know. And there's two young ladies and a young man comes up to my front door knocking, and it's Jehovah's. So I invited them in the house. Nobody there but me. got him a glass of water and gave it to him. And then the young man, he was probably only about 14. And I said, "Now, what are we going to talk about?" And he looked at the two young ladies, and looked back at me and said, "We never got this far before."
That's hilarious.
And I was like, "Okay, I guess I'll see y'all later."
That is a great. That's part of their message and mission is to go door to door. But don't they usually have pamphlets? No.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess nobody ever asked them in the house.
Well, by the way, Tommy, I give you a lot of credit for being that friendly. Hey, you be well and be careful out there in the traffic. Beth is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Beth.
Hey, how you doing?
Beth, we are doing great. Thank you.
I wondered, before I get into sports, I think I've called you before and told you this, but my mother, she got to where she couldn't see and I had to drive her to the doctor. And she was in the group. She went to a doctor in the group with your wife.
Yes.
And she wasn't senile or anything, but she always told me, "Paul Feinbaum's wife is a doctor here."
Well, well, Beth, if it was,
she was, y'all were kind of famous around here.
Well, I always felt badly for my wife because I met her after she had already started practicing medicine. And, you know, I married her, I was not particularly popular in Birmingham. And I thought if she took my name, she would be out of business. So her name was different when she was connected to the group at St. Vincent's, that was her.
Well, you know what? I'm glad she had a career that she could change when y'all moved.
Yeah, I've said this before, Beth. That was probably the most difficult thing I've ever done because she was beloved at her hospital and really was considered among the preeminent people there. And here I was, but she had the last word. She could have killed this deal, so. I'm glad she didn't.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad she was. You know, a lot of women might not have had a career that could, you know, change so quickly.
Well, not only she just fit right in. Now that's the beauty of what she does. But Beth, I'm glad to hear from you. Thanks so much for sharing that story. We're up against the break. We have a guest coming up to talk about Nick Saban and what he said a couple of days ago to a group of high school coaches, which has mostly been embraced, but there are a few people who have raised eyebrows. We'll find out more about that in a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Comment about some comments that Nick Saban made the other day. We're going to let our guest, Nick Alvarez, set it up for us. He covers a number of things for AL.com. The headline is Saban speculating on NIL, and he tells some fascinating stories in this article about what he said. Nick, thank you very much. Really nice to have you with us. Good afternoon, first of all. And Tell us a little bit more about this story that is taking, it's taken a while to get some traction, but it seems like it's finally happening. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me. And I agree. I do think it's weird how, again, we're talking about Saban mentioning something in a Q&A about NIL that are getting people interested, tying back to last year. But essentially what happened was last week at the Alabama Football Coaches Association convention in Montgomery, a bunch of different SEC head coaches filtered through throughout the week. The speeches, I mean, they're essentially breakdowns of the team and the mission statement for the program, and then there's a Q&A at the end. And one coach asked Saban about NIL and the transfer portal and how it's changing the game. And Saban, just kind of off the cuff, he doesn't mention any players' names, but he mentions that the father of one 2023 defensive back recruit apparently requested about $800,000 in NIL deals in return for his signature and commitment. And then one of the 11 players that Alabama had entered the transfer portal this offseason apparently asked for $500,000 and his girlfriend to be admitted into the University of Alabama Law School. So it's, again, David didn't mention any players by name, but he did pretty much just say, like, hey, we're not playing in this space yet. It's coming to high school, so get ready. And just kind of, like a lot of coaches, kind of just decried the whole system and asked for some oversight.
Okay, I want to follow the bouncing ball here because Saban has, you know, remember he made the comment about Bryce Young a year and a half ago to a coaches convention, and then he got pretty perturbed that it got out, although I think we're all adults here. When Nick Saban speaks to a group of, what, a couple hundred people at least, there's a reasonably high probability it's going to get out. Now, how did this get out?
Yeah, so there were over 700 coaches pre-registered for that event in Montgomery. A couple hundred in the room. The first place to report, I believe, was Outkick, and they had Terry Curtis, the president of the Alabama Football Coach Association, confirming, I think they had some version of the story I said, like that the wording may have been off, but essentially admitting that, like, yes, Saban said this and didn't single out anyone individually, but he mentioned this as part of the talk.
And it's interesting because, Nick, I mean, we weren't there, obviously, but it looks like Nick Saban is, you know, talking, I don't know, a little bit out of school here, but knowing that his message is getting across to a group of people who probably are, you know, looking toward him with great reverence, as they should. And in some circles, he's being widely praised. Others, though, are wondering, like, why did he do it? He definitely put himself in the crosshairs here, considering everyone knows how crazy this business is. And these two stories are not that outrageous if you compare them to Rashada in Florida and many others. So I realize I'm giving you a lot to chew on there, but I'm just trying to unpack it as best we can.
I think to tie it back to what he said about Jimbo and A&M last year, a lot of people at the time interpreted it as maybe kind of like a threat of saying, like, oh, you don't want to see kind of a fully operational Alabama in the NIL space. And the school did kind of, like a lot of schools, get more accessible to NIL. They opened up a player jersey next to Brian Denny or inside Brian Denny. But I think Saban is putting these stories out there is because that's probably what he's telling recruits in their homes anyway. Like, I do think that NIL has been a part of their class. They have at least one player, five-star Caden Proctor, mentioned getting some in an agreement to come to Alabama. But I don't think he doesn't want to be in a Rashada situation. He doesn't want to be in a bidding war over a kid. And I think the last couple years of Alabama recruiting, some of the misses that you hear about is maybe like a personnel fit didn't work out. And you can maybe tie that to the pandemic and access not being able to recruit. But like one thing they did in this 2023 class, which was, I think, like the third best ever for 247, like it was historic by nearly every metric, like they found competitors. Like they doubled and tripled up at key positions, quarterback, running back, defensive line. Like they found guys who, like Caden Proctor said, like want to be in a big pot and kind of, you know, prove themselves.
Yeah, Nick, and I don't think that lines up with NIL demand. Nick, this would be a better question for another Nick, but since you're the Nick that we have here, I'll just throw it up in the air. How does Nick Saban, you know, get the best recruiting class that perhaps he's ever had and one of the best we've ever seen without using NIL in some form or fashion?
I definitely think it was used in like some fashion, but I think only the $800,000 request came like early on in the process for that particular recruit. So like, I think if he's hearing that early on from a kid, like in his internal board, that kid getting crossed off or like lowered. So it's not kind of a,
isn't it selective though, Nick, to throw that up there? I'm not suggesting he's putting up a smokescreen. I'm just saying that, this happens a couple of days before his class is already cemented, but the timing of it, I just find really curious.
Yeah, maybe. I do think that he could, just getting every opportunity he can to ask for some help or some oversight, because I think every coach has mentioned that at some point when they get a mic in front of them about NIL, whether it's like in a convention or it's kind of in front of some more cameras. But I do think if that, and like the initial contact with a player, which has been like kind of speculated across schools across the country with NIL, is like if they're coming and saying, hey, what can you do for us financially? As one of the first things mentioned. Like, I think Alabama is probably one of the few schools in the country that can just like turn the kid in that situation away and kind of look elsewhere for talent.
Nick Alvarez with it. Nick, let me try to understand a little bit better. As best you know, and I realize you, I don't think you were there. Was he talking about trying to keep players at Alabama, or was this in, or were these recruits that he was trying to get?
So the $800,000 was about a 2023 defensive back recruit.
Okay.
The $500,000 and then the law school request was from a Alabama player who had entered the transfer portal and was saying, like, hey, I will pull myself out of the portal, should you kind of appease me here.
Okay. Which is very interesting, considering the guy, once you go in the portal at Alabama, what you tell me, you're in Alabama, what are the odds of you coming back?
Yeah, the situation would have to line up, and I think Saban has also taken a lot of shots at, or veiled shots at kids who leave the portal. They go, you would have played here, just waited. So I definitely don't know if that situation was ever really salvageable once that kid was in the portal.
And I mean, I think, so Saban goes, Saban, I think he got one of the better players in Georgia. You cover this stuff more intensely than I do. I don't mean to come off accusatory here, Nick, not of you, but it just seemed convenient, maybe is the best way to put it, for him to drop that in front of a group of people who are probably as sick of NIL as he is.
Maybe. I think also what was part of it is that he mentioned that I don't think he was anticipating or necessarily wanting it to come to Alabama, but he said, like, hey, look around. I think more than half of the states in the country have their state athletic associations have, like, moved in some way toward allowing NIL in high schools. Louisiana allowed it. Tennessee allowed it this season. Georgia just announced that they're allowing it. And there are kids in Alabama who are being recruited from like states outside.
What are the coaches? I mean, you obviously deal with a lot of high school coaches. Give us a composite of what they're thinking right now and how are they dealing with all this?
Oh, they hate it. They hate it tooth and nail. They, like, the quotes, like, someone call it Armageddon. Someone call it a travesty. Like, Chris, they either don't want to deal with it, and interestingly enough, there are some coaches in maybe like more well-off neighborhoods and more financially rich schools that are saying, like, yeah, we'd welcome it. Like, we know schools that would line up or businesses that would line up on day one, start supporting us.
What is the concern once it gets into high schools? I mean, is there a trend line on what that would mean for colleges? I don't mean that colleges don't have it already, but just in terms of getting their hooks in early on a player?
I think it would just kind of consolidate a lot of kind of like the hotbeds and like the powerhouse schools that have the resources, because I think college coaches will go to whoever has the players. And whether that's a trainer who has the best relationship with the player, they'll go to the trainer. So, like, I think in terms of a recruiting standpoint at colleges, I mean, maybe some bonds will be strengthened because, okay, if you have a good relationship with one coach and he's able to pull in the top five kids in his state because they're getting a couple thousand dollars, that can't hurt, for sure.
Finally, Nick, just as, since this is signing day, as someone who watches this stuff from the ground level, Alabama always has big national signing days, whether it's in December or now, but this one just seemed extra good, to use a rather pedestrian phrase. Is there any explanation from where you are in terms of what pushed Alabama to such a great class, or is it simply business as usual?
I mean, it's a little bit of business as usual. Like, Alabama was second last year behind the historic A&M class. It's not like they fell off much, but I do think, you know, some of the assistants that have left did a great job, but like, so did Eric Wolfer. Like, he was come in to kind of fix the offensive line. He signed five guys, including the number one recruit in the country at that position. You know, there was a little bit of a, you know, hair on fire moment when Peter Woods, one of the top kids here in Alabama, chose Clemson, but Alabama responded by getting, you know, four of the other best defensive line and edge rushers in the state. And then Keon Keeley, the number one player in his position. Like, it was just kind of overload, kind of every box you'd want to check, which is a testament to the entire staff, but also, you know, Saban kind of kicking around and showing he still got it.
Well done. Nick Alvarez covers recruiting for AL.com. Many, many thanks, Nick. Great job. Appreciate you coming on. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kelly is up next, Long Island. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
So I was calling about this kind of stuff, this Stetson Bennett snafu here.
Right.
What do you make of the fact that after such a tragedy at Georgia, this kind of behavior would go on? And do you kind of agree with legend that he's going to be kind of a clipboard holder in the NFL if he gets drafted?
Well, I do agree with that. And we're about to go to the Senior Bowl, where I don't understand the rationale on why he didn't go down there. To me, that was an opportunity to show off.
I don't know. Yeah.
And I don't believe this is a big deal. And you ask why did he do this in lieu of everything else? Listen, I don't know what the circumstances were. He's a young guy. He's 3 weeks removed from the national championship. He's out drinking. I mean, think about you at that age. I mean, by the way, I say that, Kelly, by the time I was his age, I was already moving on from that point of my life.
Yeah, I wasn't much of a drinker either, but I went to Oberlin College, so I had to keep my head on. Otherwise,
absolutely,
I would have been kicked out. So, but yeah, I think that, yes, youthful exuberance is one thing. I mean, my main thing is, thank God he wasn't in a car.
Yeah.
But to hurt someone else or himself. But, you know, I'm not really sure what the work ethic is outside of the big game for these guys. What's their motivation to kind of stay focused?
Well, do you think? But I mean, this is really a down period. I mean, really, he's got nothing to do until the NFL combo, which is in a month, and his pro day. So, yeah, if you want to go out drinking, I'm not going to begrudge him that.
Yeah,
thanks so much for the call. We're up against a break.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.